Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 17. Punishment and reward of Kali. Text 20. Apratakyat anyudeshyat iti keshu api nishchayaha otra anurupam rajarishe vimrisha sva manishaya apratakyat anyadeshyad iti keshvapi nishchayaha atranurupam rajarshe vimrishasva manishaya apratakyat beyond the power of reasoning anyadeshyad beyond the power of thinking. Iti, thus. Keshu, someone. Opi, also. Nishtayaha, definitely concluded. Atra, herein. Anurupam, which of them is right? Rajarishe, O sage amongst the kings, Vimrisha, judge yourself, Sva, by your own, Manishaya, power of intelligence. There are also some thinkers who believe that no one can ascertain the cause of distress by argumentation, nor know it by imagination, nor express it by words. O sage, amongst kings, judge for yourself by thinking over all this with your own intelligence. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The Vaishnavites, the devotees of the Lord, do believe, as above explained, that nothing can take place without the sanction of the Supreme Lord. He is the Supreme Director, for He confirms in the Bhagavad Gita 15:15 that He, as all-pervading Paramatma, stays in everyone's heart and keeps vigilance over all actions and witnesses all activities. The argument of the atheist that one cannot be punished for one's misdeeds unless proved before a qualified justice is refuted herein, for we accept the perpetual witness and constant companion of the living being. A living being may forget all that he might have done in his past or present life, but one must know that in the same tree of the material body, the individual soul and the supersoul as Paramatma are sitting like two birds. One of them, the living being, is enjoying the fruits of the tree, whereas the supreme being is there to witness the activities. Therefore, the Paramatma feature, the Supreme Soul, is actually the witness of all activities of the living being, and only by His direction can the living being remember or forget what he might have done in the past. He is therefore both the all-pervading impersonal Brahman and the localized Paramatma in everyone's heart. He is the knower of all past, present, and future, and nothing can be concealed from Him. The devotees know this truth, and therefore they discharge their duties sincerely without being overly anxious for rewards. Besides that, one cannot estimate the Lord's reactions, either by speculation or by scholarship. Why does He put some into difficulty and not others? He is the supreme knower of the Vedic knowledge, and thus He is the factual Vedantist. At the same time, he is the compiler of the Vedanta. No one is independent of him, and everyone is engaged in his service in different ways. In the conditioned state, such services are rendered by the living being under the force of the material nature, whereas in the liberated state, the living being is helped by the spiritual nature in the voluntary loving service of the Lord. There is no incongruity or inebriety in his actions. All are on the path of absolute truth. Bhishma Dev correctly estimated the inconceivable actions of the Lord. The conclusion is, therefore, that the sufferings of the representative of religion and the representative of the earth as present before Maharaj Parikshit were planned to prove that Maharaj Parikshit was the ideal executive head because he knew well how to give protection to the cows, the earth, and the brahmanas, religious principles, the two pillars of spiritual advancement. Everyone is under full control of the Lord. He is quite correct in his action when he desires something to be done by someone, irrespective of the consideration of the particular case. Maharaj Parikshit was thus put to test for his greatness. Now let us see how he solves it by his sagacious mind. Apratakyat anirdeshyat itikeshvapinishchaya atranurupam rajarshe vimrisha swamanishaya om agyanatamirandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshuranmilatam jena tasmaya shigarvenama.
So, in the ultimate issue, above even the karmic principles which are at work within the material world, there is a superior influence, and that influence is the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Paramatma. In other words, we all are individually creating our own destiny by our activities in this world, and we are suffering or enjoying according to that karma. However, there is a superior power that can change all that or can allow it to go on. So in the case of the living beings who have not understood their responsibilities and relationship with the Supreme Lord and are still trying to madly enjoy this material world, the Lord doesn't become very much involved directly. He allows them to work under his agent Maya. Daivihyesha gunamayi mama maya drupteya. And they are bound up by their actions and reactions. And thus they are sent into different species of life. And this goes on and on, samsara, through different creations and annihilations of material universes and manifestations. This goes on and on. However, when one, by the mercy of Krishna and the spiritual master, Krishna's representatives, realizes that this is not ultimately for his best interest, and he agrees to the suggestions of Lord Krishna that one engage in his service, then Krishna intervenes, divine intervention. He becomes interested specifically in this soul, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Samoham Sarvabhuteshu Name Dveshosti Napriya, that I do not envy anyone, nor am I partial to anyone. But whoever renders service unto me in devotion, Bhajantya Nanya Manaso, is a friend to me, and I am also a friend to him. So there's a special consideration for the soul who agrees to follow the Lord's plan. This is not to be criticized. Why should Krishna, who is a person, why should he have non-personal tendencies? In other words, we are the ones who are generated in his image. We are following him. He's the person. And persons means they have feelings and they have preferences. So even though Krishna is stating here in Bhagavad Gita that I accept all living entities as my children, aham bija pradapita, they are his children, still I show more favor, I'm especially inclined to those who are inclined towards me. If they don't want to serve me, if they don't want to hear about me, if they don't like me, then it's not that I don't like them, because Krishna loves them. But then I'll let them have their freedom, so-called freedom. I'll let them do what they want. Why should I impose myself on them? This is Krishna's thinking. But still he wants them to come back, and therefore he comes yada yada hi dharmasya glani bhavati bharata abhyutanam adharmasya tadatmanam shujamyam. Why does he come to establish religion? Why does he send his incarnations or his representatives? Because he wants to save these poor lost sons and bring them back to his lotus feet and to a relationship with him. But he doesn't force. He doesn't take away the individual's free will. This is perfect. It's the perfect way of dealing. We couldn't conceive of a better way to do it. We could force. Someone may think, well, if I were God, I would make everyone happy all the time. If I had that power, I would do it like that. Why should anyone have to go through any suffering? But the point is, the Lord is also the enjoyer. And it's not very enjoyable to just force everyone to do everything. It's like, you know, asking someone to do something and then you have a revolver. You say, you want to do it, don't you? And he says, of course, yes. So that kind of reciprocation is not very natural. And we see that Krishna is a real person, and he really likes personal relationships and loving relationships based on voluntary surrender. When someone makes a sacrifice for him, he's very much obliged. He likes all kinds of relationships. He's full of love. He's very good. He doesn't have any ill desires for anyone. But he likes personal relationships. That's called rasa. And that's why we also like rasa. We like relationships. That's why people become married out here, and they have children and families and reunions and friends and all these things, associations, clubs. Because we're like Krishna. We're like God, the Father. Like Father, like Son. So, ultimately, whatever's happening to us, and this is the lesson we're learning from the personality of religion, Dharma. Dharma's telling us that actually we shouldn't blame anyone or anything for what's happened. Because ultimately it's permitted, it's ordained by the Lord. That means it's good. that it happened to me. It's perfect. Everything, Om Purnam Adat Purnamidam Purnat Purnam Udachate. Purnasya Purnama Adaya Purnameva Vashishate. Nothing's happening by accident. It's all perfect. Somebody say, is it perfect that I got in a car accident yesterday? Yes. What? How is it perfect that I got in a car accident? Smashed up the car, now I have to pay so much, this, that, trouble, broke my leg. Yes, that was exactly what was supposed to happen to you. Wasn't an accident. Oh. So how do you understand this? Well, in two ways. If you're under the law of karma, then it's exactly what you deserved, according to your past activities. And if you're serving Krishna, it means Krishna has ordained it. He has agreed that this should happen to you. And as Prabhupada gives the clue, why would Krishna do that? Why would Krishna put me in a situation where I should get in a car accident and break my leg and do this, so many things? To test you, to improve you. It's like Maharaj Parikshit. He's being tested. How will he respond to the test? What about the Pandavas? The Pandavas were banished to the forest for 13 years. So, why would that happen? They're the most elevated souls on the planet. They were pure devotees. Maharaj Yudhisthira was the greatest king, far better than Duryodhana. Duryodhana was offense personified, evil-minded Duryodhana, envious, etc., on and on and on. Why would Krishna allow that to happen, that they should lose? It was just a little dice. Certainly Krishna could have adjusted those dice so that they went in the favor of the Pandavas, and then Shakuni and Duryodhana and all the sons of Dhritarashtra could have been reduced in their influence. All their opulence could have been taken away. Krishna could have done that. If he can supply unlimited sari, he can certainly control a few dice. So why not? Some people say, yeah, why not? He should have done that. That would have... But no, this is part of the ultimate plan of the Lord, which is too big for us to understand, at least by speculation. We can only understand it by revelation, by accepting it as it comes down from Krishna to Brahma to Narada. As it comes through the disciplic succession, we can understand something about the plan of the Lord. Otherwise, it's not possible. But philosophers are going on and on. They're trying to understand and figure it all out. And then one after another, they're all dying. They're dying without having understood anything. And then the next life they become a spider or something like that. And they can sit there meditating for a long time in trance. But that is not the way to understand. The way to understand? Tarka pratishta shrutayo vibhinna. That word is used here, tarka. Tarka means arguments. Tarka pratishta. Apratishta means arguments are not stable. You cannot base a perfect understanding on different arguments. Tarka pratishta shrutayo vibhinna. And there are so many different scriptures. It's very difficult to come to a conclusion by studying different scriptures, because someone will say, well, this scripture says this and this scripture says that. And tako pratishta shrutayo vibhinna nasavrishir yasya matam nabhinnam. And every rishi, every sage or every muni, every philosopher has a different opinion. Like nowadays. Why are there new books being written? Because everyone wants to give his own opinion about how to live, what the perfection is, what's the truth. Tarmasya tattvam nihitam guhayam. the truth about Dharma. Because we're talking about, the truth means Dharma or religion. Religion not in the sense that we know religion, a kind of faith, but Dharma in the sense that this is the orders, the duties designated by God for everyone, that everyone should perform. Dharmasya tattvam nihitam guhayam. But they're secret. They're in the hearts of the pure devotees to understand this Dharma, the truth about Dharma. Therefore, Mahajano yena gata sapanta. One should follow the path of the Mahajans. So, Mahajans means the great souls, the great devotees of the Lord, such as Brahma and Shiva, and Shukadev Goswami, Yamaraj, Bhishmadev. These are all Mahajans, Narad Muni. Then we'll know everything exactly. Yasmin bhigyate sarvam etam bhigyatam bhavati. If one knows Krishna, then he knows everything. And how can one know Krishna? By following the Mahajans. And how does one follow them? By hearing submissively and rendering service from them, and rendering service to them. Then one understands. Then the knowledge is revealed. Tesham satatadyuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam tadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayantite. Krishna says, for those who are engaged in my devotional service, always serving me without deviation, I give them the knowledge by which they can come to me. It means which they can understand me. And then if you understand Krishna, then you can come to him and you can develop your love for him. So, practically, what does this mean? It means we should learn in our lives every day not to be disturbed with whatever comes. This is not so easy. People are getting disturbed all the time in the material world. That's why there's so many pharmacies, and so many medicines, pills, doctors, this, psychologists, lawyers. Everyone's becoming disturbed and they're trying to get some relief from the disturbances. But a devotee is more intelligent. He sees, I want to get rid of disturbances also. Yes. He wants to. But he knows the way to get rid of disturbances. Well, he knows that why should I bother myself about the symptoms of the disturbance? For example, if someone he gets some blemishes. He starts getting blemishes, bumps all over his body. So he may go out and buy some bump lotion, he's putting different medication on all the bumps. They're not going away because he's not very intelligent. He thinks he's just treating the symptoms. He's putting lotion on each bump. That doesn't do. No. You have to go to an expert physician. The physician will see, diagnose. You have a liver problem. You have a blood problem. Something. So we have to treat the root cause of the disease. Not just don't bother putting lotion on the bumps. So similarly, we must cut out this root cause of our disease. And what is that? That we don't want to surrender to Krishna. That we're envious. We want to be the enjoyer. We don't want to serve, we want to be served. We want to be the enjoyer of all we survey. That has to be cut out, that desire. And then we have to just become the humble servant. Gopi Bhartur Padakamalayor Das Das Anudas. The servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. That's our real position. That's our constitutional, natural mentality. And anything other than that is the real cause of our distress. So A devotee is busy with that. He's also very busy. He's not lazy. It's not that when someone takes up spiritual life, then they stop all activities like the impersonalists try to do. No, that is not recommended. Krishna never says you shouldn't do anything. Rather, he says that it's impossible to stop doing something, even for a moment. So, yagyartat karmanonyatra loko yam karma bandhana. But perform your activities for Vishnu, yagya, for the Lord, then there'll be no bad reactions. And you'll be free from all the reactions, and you'll be liberated, you'll be happy, you'll go back to Godhead. What more can you ask for? All your problems over, no more disease, old age, death. What other problems do you have? Oh, taxes, no more taxes. What other problems do you have? Well, my wife just left me. No more divorces, no more problems in the spirit, no more accidents. When one is in Krishna consciousness, he's already liberated. Jivan mukta suchite. He's in the spiritual world because Krishna is taking care of everything for him directly. Yoga kshemam bahamyaham. There's a story that Krishna personally comes and carries what the devotee lacks, whatever he needs. There was one commentator, he was writing some tika comments on the Bhagavad Gita. He was a Brahmin, very pakka, but he came to this verse, ananyas chintayantamam ye jana paryapasate tesham nityabhiyuktanam yoga kshema bahamyam. That Krishna says, I personally carry, baham, vaha means to carry, bahamyam, I carry what they lack for my devotees who are always meditating upon my transcendental form. So the Brahmin, he thought, why should he have to personally carry? This is not correct. That he has so many energies that can carry things far, can bring. Why should he have to bring? So he crossed it out, scratched out that part. Then he went to take his noon bath. And while he was away, his wife was at the house, and some boys came. And one boy, he was carrying on his shoulders this rod across with very heavy baskets of foodstuffs in both. And he was carrying, it was quite heavy. Little boy. And he had scratches and cuts all over his face, his body. Came to the door. The Brahmin's wife said, yes, my little boy, what can I do for you? She said, here, take this quickly. Your husband made me carry this here, and he beat me. That's why you see all these marks, and I'm afraid that he'll come back and beat me some more. She said, my husband, the Brahmin? It's not like him. He's never beaten anyone. No, no, he did, and I'm very afraid. Take them quickly. So he gave all the foodstuffs, the fruits, the vegetables, the grains, ghee, everything very nice. She said, no, no, please come in. Please come in. Don't worry. So he came in for a little while, but he was desirous to leave. So finally, he left. And then when her husband came back, she was so angry with him. How dare you beat that little boy? She said, what are you talking about, beat boy? She said, that little boy came here. He showed me all the cuts he had on his face. You made him carry the heavy loads of foodstuffs. She said, what? He said, what are you, mad? What are you talking about? I didn't do anything like that. He said, what did this boy look like? And so she described the very beautiful boy. So actually, the description was of Krishna. Turned out that little boy was Krishna, and the husband could understand. It was because he had scratched out that verse of Bhagavad Gita that the Lord personally carries the necessities for the Lord. So just to prove Krishna wanted to show that you're scratching me. You're cutting me. And I do personally carry the load. So he learned a very nice lesson. We can also learn that lesson. Krishna is personally involved in taking care of everything for the devotees, so there's nothing to worry about. So we'll stop there. Thank you. Are there any questions?
It hasn't to be exactly his karma. It has to be murdered.
What else would it be?
I also think so.
What else would it be if it were not his karma? There's only two things, either his karma or some special arrangement by Krishna. But Krishna does not become involved in ordinary, the material activities of the living entities. They don't want him to be involved. And therefore he also does not impose himself. He has better things to do. Sometimes we hear different so-called religious persons saying that God's up there, he's trying to be involved, and therefore if we win the basketball game, God will be pleased and all these things. But God is not very concerned about our mundane activities any more than we would be concerned about the activities of some worms. And what do we care what they're doing? Who won? Who brought back the most food to the hole today among the ants? We don't consider it very important. Similarly, Krishna is not very concerned with material activities of the living entities. It's like if you want to tell someone about all your dreams, usually people get tired of hearing about your dreams. Maybe they'll listen to one dream. And then you say, now, wait, I've got more. I've got hundreds of dreams to tell you about. They go, phew. They have other things to do better than listening to your dream. No, I've got more. I've got books of dreams. They'll say, thanks a lot, Al. Not interested. Because actually material life means dreaming. It's all dreaming. I dreamt that, you know, the person I went, she liked me and she came and I dreamt I made a lot of money. And who cares for your dreams? It's all mental speculation. So the reality is devotional service. That's real life. Krishna's interested in that, but not these dreams. So yes, it's karma. There's no question about it. Unless one's engaged in devotional service, then Krishna becomes involved. There's no such thing as innocent. It may appear innocent, but that just means we haven't seen what he did before to cause that. Why did he get murdered? There's no reason? No, there's a reason. He murdered before. It's like if someone comes in the middle of a movie and just at that moment, the judge gives his verdict on this nice young lady. She's the, what do you call it? Defendant or whatever. So he says, yes, I find you guilty of murder in the third degree and you shall be punished by death. And the person coming says, wow, that judge is so heavy. Why did he do that? So unkind. No, he missed the first half of the movie seeing what she did. So, similarly, there's no such thing as injustice in the arrangement of the Lord. It's always perfect.
As in regard to animals, because there are so many animals who are slaughtered.
Animals also, yes. They slaughtered. Those who slaughter now, they get slaughtered next time. And again and again and again and again. For every hair on the back of the cow. For every abortion, you have to be aborted. Then you get to come and get in the womb, and just before you're about to come out, cut. That is the law of karma. No accidents. These children are not innocent. That doesn't mean we should kill them, thinking, he's a rascal, he's performed, so it's okay if I kill him. I'm helping out Yamaraj in the law of karma. No, you're not helping. If you commit sinful activities, you yourself are becoming implicated, and you'll have to suffer. The only way you can help is to perform devotional service. Otherwise, you have no question of helping or not helping. You're just flowing along with the waves of material nature. The gunamayi, you have no choice. When you try to help by your own concoction, you end up causing problems another way. So the only way to help is under the divine arrangement, the divine supervision of the Lord. Then you can actually help. It's like, for example, let's say one man, he's trying to be a physician when he really doesn't know what he's doing. So he's cutting people's stomach open and they're dying. So one man, his stomach is cut open and he's screaming. And another man comes along and says, "You fool, get away! I'll help this man." And he cuts open his chest. He's already got his stomach open. He cuts open here. He also doesn't know what he's doing. So there's no question of helping. Or you can think of so many humorous ways he would try to help, and actually he couldn't help because he's in ignorance. So the only way to help is to have knowledge and to follow the Lord's instruction. Otherwise, you're not helping. You're going to save the forest in Alaska. You cannot help, because in saving that, you'll be doing so many other sinful activities. Therefore, the only method is to surrender to Krishna and follow his instructions. Any other questions? Well, the details. We can understand the general principle that for every action there's a reaction, and that Yamaraj is the deputed agent of the Lord to mete out these punishments and rewards. We can understand that. But if you try to get into all the intricacies, the details, that I did this, therefore that has to be, there needs to be a reaction for that, but then I did millions of other things and they all have to be combined in a big computer and come out with the perfect suffering and enjoyment, that's very difficult for us to understand, all the details. There's three modes of material nature, there's 8,400,000 different species. Why one gets this species exactly? Because that species is the exact reward that he was supposed to get for his activities. In other words, there's a certain amount of enjoyment in that species and there's a certain amount of suffering he's going to get. And even within that species, there's certain things that happen, different things that happen to him that are supposed to happen. He's supposed to suffer a certain amount. One dog gets hit by the car, another dog, he doesn't get hit by the car. This is also part of karma. So it's all very complicated why everything's happening.
So to change the service or to stop the service they did before because of that problem?
Well, change service is all right. As long as one doesn't stop devotional service. But if one has to change his service by the arrangement of the Lord, then that's nothing wrong. Just like Prahlad. Prahlad was preaching. Little boy Prahlad was preaching to his schoolmates. But then his father stopped that. Changed his engagement. Couldn't preach anymore directly to the students. But so then he took up remembering the Lord. First then he started preaching to Hiranyakashipu. Then Hiranyakashipu stopped that preaching also. "All right, no more preaching for you. We're going to kill you." So then he tried to kill him. But Prahlad didn't stop his service. It just took a little different shape. He went from Kirtanam to Smaranam, you could say. More emphasis. And he was remembering the Lord. So we may be asked to change our service by Krishna sometimes. If that's his desire, then we accept that. But we go on serving with even greater intensity. Prahlad's intensity didn't decrease. He didn't become morose. "Oh, what is this? I was preaching, now I can't preach anymore. Now I'm being punished, I'm being put in the pot of oil. What, this is injustice, this is not fair." Not fair means somebody's making a mistake, it's unjust. But no, he never said that. He said, "No, this is perfect. This is a perfect arrangement of the Lord to test me so that I can remember him at every moment." Any other? Okay. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.